Welcome to Food Neighborhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities are various, the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. This week we are in Tel Aviv to visit the neighborhood of Florentin, the city's fastest growing food destination. Mixing the old with the new and the high with the low, Florentin is full of far-reaching influences and surprising food rivalries that date back generations. Nobody knows this Tel Aviv neighborhood better than Inbal Baum, the founder of the culinary tour company Delicious Israel. She gave a tour to Monocle's Mary Pelletier.
It's a beautiful, sunny winter's day here in Tel Aviv, and I'm in the Florentine district with Inbal Baum, the founder of Delicious Israel, and we're just catching her fresh off of a tour of an American family, I think. Yeah. So Inbal, you run Delicious Israel and you bring tours around these areas in Tel Aviv all the time. Could you explain a little bit about the Florentine district and what makes it a unique food area?
Yeah, of course. So the neighborhood we're in right now is kind of on the edge of what we would call the Florentine district. And back in the early 1900s, when the Jewish immigrants were moving in, this was an outskirt neighborhood to where Tel Aviv began. As the Jewish immigrants were coming in, they started to settle along Rothschild Boulevard, but then people started to move to the outskirts, especially those who couldn't afford to live in the expensive center. Now, at the time, this was a lot of Jewish immigrants that were coming from Greece, from Turkey, and then later from Iran. So you would see those kinds of foods, the meze plates from the Turkish, you would see sweets, Greek sweets. A lot of these stores that were opened back in the early 1900s are still run by the same families many, many years later. And so now it's the third and fourth generation, sometimes even fifth generation, and they're still selling the exact same things with very little change. So let's move forward then. Okay. What happened today? Why is this neighborhood so interesting? Because the same thing that was happening back then is happening today. The people who can't afford to live, Rothschild Boulevard is still the hot neighborhood to live in. Mm-hmm. So the people who can't afford to live there move to the outskirts. And this is still, in a way, that kind of outskirt of town, except it's no longer immigrants. It's now musicians, students, and lots of hipsters.
Hipsters everywhere.
Right? And that's the flavor of the neighborhood today. Okay. As far as a foodie destination, it's amazing because you get to see both the history, but also the new hip things that are coming into the neighborhood. Let's go to this spice shop. It's the wholesale and retail is still happening a lot here. So you see okay. these dried nuts and fruits shops that are selling huge quantities. And you see these spice shops that are actually, this is where the chefs come.
Okay.
The turnover is all the time. They're constantly, shalom,
shalom. Shalom. And what's the name of this place?
Cafe Arama.
And your name?
My name is Isaac Simanyan.
And how long have you been in this shop here?
My father, 25 years. Excellent shops for flowers, you know, for tea, for mm-hmm. coffee, for spices.
Probably the most important thing that I love here are these spices. So you have here, for example, beautiful fresh za'atar, mm-hmm. dried ground za'atar from the za'atar leaf.
Yeah, could you describe what za'atar is
sure.
and like why it's so important
yeah,
to this area of the world?
Definitely. Za'atar actually comes from biblical times, and in the Bible, za'atar is a leaf that grows around the Judean hills right near Jerusalem and also in the desert. And in the Bible, it was actually used also for medicinal purposes. It was almost an antibacterial herb. Today, what you mostly see as za'atar is something like an oregano leaf that is dried, ground, and then blended with sesame, salt, and then here he also has with garlic. Chefs like Otto Lengi have made za'atar incredibly famous with his beautiful recipes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's actually hard to get good za'atar in Israel because so much is going for export now.
Really?
As a result, yeah. But if you taste it, it's got an oregano kind of almost like something you'd put on your pizza flavor. And it's typically used here almost like a pesto where you put it onto bread with olive oil. So that's a very Israeli herb, something that's very local and typical.
Mm-hmm.
And then besides that, you have here these blends, and the blends come from all different cultures. So his family is Persian and also Iraqi, and so they have here a Persian kebab mix and an Iraqi kebab mix, which have different spices. This is a Yemenite soup blend with a lot of curry and turmeric kind of flavors. And then he has things for everyday use, like a rub for grills, which has paprika and a bit of sweetness and spice as well.
Oh, yeah, being in there gives you almost like a high like a scent high.
You almost don't need to eat. It's very satisfying just smelling the smells. Or I guess it actually drives the appetite.
Yeah,
quite
exactly.
Well.
Would you want a burekka? Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. We are now at Burekka's Penso. This is Jenny. She is the third generation running the shop.
Which flavor?
Oh, what do we have?
Spinach, potato, cheese, pizza.
Cheese, please.
Now, this is a great example of when you do something good, you stick to it. You do one thing. So this is the Turkish burekka. It's got flaky phyllo pastry dough with cheese inside. And dig in.
Let's have a taste.
So flaky.
So flaky. Super fresh. When the Turkish Jews came, they did have to make a few changes to the burekka to make it fit towards the Israeli way of eating. So, for example, the Turkish burek has butter instead of canola oil. Mm-hmm. We use oil so that it can be the dough can be with the meat or the dairy meals for the kosher laws.
Okay, so it's kind of like amending your food to the religious strictures.
Needs. Exactly.
Ta-da!
Bye, la brioche.
Bye!
Bye.
Now, there's something actually funny. We've been on this side of the street so far. This is, I don't know if it was purposeful or not, but the Turkish and Greek Jews didn't always get along.
Okay.
And all of the Turkish shops are actually on this northern side of the street, and all of the Greek shops are on the southern side of the street. So across the way, you see a place which is essentially the same product, but it's a Greek shop.
But Greek. So you know where your allegiances lie.
Exactly.
You're depending on which side of the road you're shopping.
Location-wise, where are we right now? We're near the end of the market section of the Levinsky Street, and we are just 5 minutes south of Rothschild Boulevard.
Hey!
Hi!
That's Benny. Benny started the gazoz.
This is the gazoz.
This is the gazoz.
The famous gazoz.
Exactly.
Benny had this idea to take something very historical and make it into something artisanal. So what he did is he took this drink. It was something that kids would get on the side corner store for a few shekels, and it was basically the soda pop. And we didn't
here in Israel.
Here in Israel, yeah, we didn't have here Pepsi and cola until much later in Israel's history. So this was essentially the soda. Now, what it was at the time was basically soda with sugar syrup, and it would be some kind of generic flavor like yellow,
or very generic. Or
exactly. So what he did is he said, "Okay, I'm going to take this concept and I'm going to make an artisanal version." You see in the back there, they have these tins with homemade orange syrup and persimmon syrup and mango syrup and whatever's in season right now. They're making a syrup from so grapefruit leaves and fennel. And then here you have this collection of interesting herbs like geranium and things I don't even know what they are, different kinds of foraged kind of herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to make us this interesting artisanal gazoz.
Whatever you recommend. So there is like a single recipe that you guys follow? No, you go.
I've been here thousands of times and I've never, ever, ever had the same one twice.
Amazing.
Ta-da.
Thanks. Thank you.
Enjoy the winter.
So we're walking right now down sort of off the side street to, I guess, a back alley. Recently, I actually was away for 4 months. I got married. My husband and I went on this really fun honeymoon for 4 months, and I came back, and what was a dead alleyway has now come alive. This is a place called Steve's, and it was a guy who lived in America, New York, and he said, "Wow, I really miss my American diner food." So he opened up a place that has really good pancakes and chicken wings and American style.
I see a burger on the
exactly,
on the window.
Yeah. Exactly, American style diner sort of food. And I mentioned earlier that this is very much a hipster neighborhood, and when you have hipsters, what do you have to have? A good coffee roaster, right? So in here, and we can take a peek inside. A lot of beards and a lot of excellent coffee as well. And it's called Cafe Lix, and it's another sign of how the neighborhood is changing, because it's quite expensive coffee and not necessarily accessible to all.
So Florentine is the up-and-coming area to be.
Yeah, I think it is. It's not coming, it's here.
This was episode number 22 of Food Neighborhoods, our guide to Tel Aviv's Florentine neighborhood was in Balbaum of delicious Israel. She guided Monocle's Mary Pelletier. For more food and drink stories, tune into the menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Marcus Hippi. Thank you for listening and goodbye.